Hello, FCS Nation. It's time for your show. I'm your host, Kevin Marshall. I'm coming to you from the mecca of FCS football, sunny but smoky Missoula, Montana. Join me like he does each week. It's the co-host of this program, Mr. Stone Labanowitz. Stone is coming to you from the Sunshine State of Florida. Well, Stone, last week was just a little bit of a tease, brother. A little bit just to wet your whistle. But we had some very good football games. We got our first FBS scalp of the season. I think all in all, it was a pretty good week zero for FCS football.
How about them Bobcats, baby? 35-31, getting it done. We expected them to, but a little scare. We did get our scalp, though. It was awesome. Everybody was tweeting, live tweeting, score updates. We're officially back, Kev.
Well, like you mentioned, Stone, number 3 Montana State, 35, FBS New Mexico, 31. This game, y'all, was very entertaining if it was one thing. How great of football it was, not real sure. There were some really exciting things that happened, and it was pretty clean, so it was entertaining, I will say that. But playing with a patchwork offensive line and zero depth at the safety position, no matter the spread coming into this thing, no matter how much Montana State was favored by, this was a gritty and gutty win by the Bobcats.
It's one of those cat and mouse spots, right, where an FBS team is starting to hear the chatter that they're underdogs to an FCS team, and they know that coming into it, and they played like the FBS more scholarship school in that first quarter. You saw that. It was obvious. They came right out of the gates firing on all cylinders. It just took Montana State kind of looking in the mirror and asking themselves, who are we? Oh yeah, I know who we are. We're one of the best teams in the country, FCS or FBS, and they showed that. And also, Kev, you want to know how you win football games? You outgain a team 220 yards to 42 in the fourth quarter. That right there gives you a W in the column.
Stone, it gets even better than that. Listen to this, y'all, and credit to Tom Stuber from Skyline Sports for finding it. After New Mexico went up 17-0, the Bobcats outgained the Lobos 497-188 the rest of the game. Adam Jones ran for a 167 and a touchdown, including a 93-yarder where he was completely untouched to the end zone. Humphrey ran for another 141 and a TD, and Tommy Malott, 21-32, 205 yards and two touchdowns. The first FBS scalp of the season belongs to Montana State. SEMO, 37, North Alabama, 15. Well, Stone, evidently I decided to get my first incorrect upset pick of the year out of the way extremely early here. Things began great for the Lions, though, dude. They were ahead, and unfortunately for SEMO, quarterback Paxton DeLaurent got hurt and went out of the game. So if you're the Lions, you're thinking, we got a lead. Their best quarterback, one of the best in the country, is going to be on the bench the rest of the way. But give a whole lot of credit to the SEMO defense led by linebacker Jared Pedraza. More on him in a minute. They held North Alabama scoreless for the entire second half, dude. And the backup quarterback, Carter Hensley, he was steady. Stone, he didn't cost them the game. He kept them in the game. And freshman running back Peyton Brown, Hensley let him cook, Stone. And cook he did. 97 yards and three touchdowns for Brown. This is a good, solid win for SEMO. I hope for his sake and for FCS sake, because he's a hell of a player. I hope Paxton DeLaurent isn't hurt badly and we get to see him back out there again soon. This was a great team win for SEMO.
Yeah, all the wishes to Paxton. Of course, we spent all of last week talking about Paxton and how he's going to be the key to winning this game. Carter Hensley, big dog, coming in. Redshirt freshman getting it done. But yeah, if you're a redshirt freshman, you get jolted into a game. The one thing you do want is a Peyton Brown. I'm going to be transparent with you, Kev. When the Lions went up 15-13, I thought there was a chance that this game was over, that UNA was going to run away with this thing. But SEMO kind of stuck to their guns, the defense batting the hatches down, and they got a win, and it was an awesome win. And I think SEMO is a better football team than I even thought last week, and I gave them a lot of praise. But without Paxton, not really sure what they're going to be capable of doing.
Number 24, Florida A&M, 24, Norfolk State, 23. Stone, this is one hell of a football game. Week 0, week 4, week 12, it wouldn't have mattered. This was a good college football game. Well, the Spartans, they came out in a phalanx, bro, taking a 14-0 lead and led 14-10 at the half. Rattlers QB Daniel Richardson led his squad to the comeback win, completing 22 passes, 286 yards, and three touchdowns, and he won the game's MVP. Rattlers wide receiver Jamari Grant grabbed 8 balls, 110 yards, and two touchdowns, and that dark cloud defense for Florida A&M came up big, stuffing a Spartan attempt to take the lead on a two-point play with 6:29 left. This is a good win for Florida A&M. Stone, the stadium was packed. The atmosphere was fantastic. The bands were out there at halftime, out there before the game. This was a brilliant showcase for HBCU football.
When the Rattlers erased that 14-0 deficit, made it 14 going 10, I knew FAMU was going to win this game. I didn't expect it to be that close down the stretch. Daniel Richardson, former FAU Owl down here in my neck of the woods, slow start. I mean, it's his first time strapping up the uniform in that game, meaning something for FAMU, so I expected that. But he got going, almost 300 yards through the air, found pay dirt with his arm three times, didn't throw an interception, ended up winning the MVP. I like Daniel Richardson in this system. I think FAMU is going to do a lot of damage this year. And the fact that they got out of here with a win while knocking some rust off and Daniel Richardson kind of getting his feet underneath him doesn't bode well for the rest of the subdivision.
No kidding. And look, there's a lot of talent on that FAMU roster. And look, if he doesn't make mistakes, Richardson, just distribute the ball, get it to your guys. They're going to win a hell of a lot of football games. Hawaii of the FBS 35, Delaware State 14. Y'all, with all of the problems they had just getting there, the Delaware State Hornets, those young men, they came to play football. They came buzzing back from a 14-0 deficit to tie the game with 11-10 left in the second quarter and trailed just 21-14 at the half. After a scoreless third quarter, it just seemed like they ran out of gas, Stone. It really did. All that travel, all that headache getting to Hawaii, you could see that these boys were a little bit tired and that depth factor took over for the FBS program. For the Hornet, Marquise Adams was 17-28 for 156 yards. No touchdowns, but more importantly, no interceptions. This was a great effort that should be remembered and rewarded by Delaware State.
You covered the huge number and you kind of put your foot down. You saw in certain spots where they went through, I don't know, call it 7 and 10 play spurts where they looked like the better team. If you didn't know what jersey they were wearing and you weren't aware that they were separate divisions and conferences, you would have thought, okay, this is a good game. I'm really impressed with Delaware State. Last week coming into it, we didn't really give them high hopes, but a 35-17 finish, I like to see it. I was watching this game at, I don't know, I think 1 in the morning, and I enjoyed it for the most part. This Delaware State defense kind of has something to it.
Number 14, Tarleton State 26, McNeese 23. Stone, if you just watched the first half of this ball game and you hear the final score, you would think that we're crazy and we're making it up, right? But McNeese missed a field goal as time expired to send the game into overtime. Texans had the game won, really, at 26-7 at the half, and it looked like they were going to run the Cowboys out of town the same way that Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday did in Tombstone, brother. But the starting quarterback got hurt. The backup was ineffective, and McNeese came roaring out of the locker room. Texans were able to hold on, though, and win 26-23. It took McNeese a little bit of a time to get going on offense to really start clicking. Cowboys quarterback Clifton McDowell, a stone-cold QB segment alumni, he went 14 of 20 for 245 yards, two touchdowns and one interception, and he rushed for 67 more yards. Kayvon Britton for Tarleton, 25 carries, 164 yards for the Texans. There were just too many turnovers and too many mistakes for McNeese.
We pegged this one last week, Kev, talking about McNeese coming out slow, having to find an identity, especially offensively with somebody behind center like Clifton McDowell, first game rocking for the Cowboys. I don't know what else to say about the last 2 minutes of that game. It's easier from the couch watching saying, you should have done this. You need to call a timeout here. You should have called this play. You should have ran this. It's a lot easier to say from the couch, but still, I think there were so many mistakes made both on the field and on the sideline in that last, I don't know, call it 2 minutes, 34 seconds, because I thought, one, that field goal kicker should have been a lot closer. They had a lot more time and a lot more downs to get there, and Clifton McDowell's got to make some extracurricular plays, and he didn't really do that, and we're accustomed to seeing it, so slow start for them, just like we imagined. I think they get back on that horse at some point, though. I like this McNeese team. They just got a lot to figure out.
It's time for us to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for the preview segment. This is where Stone Labanowitz and I take a quick trip all over FCS Nation, and we preview the biggest games taking place this week. Stone, the first few weeks, it's hard to get through this segment and the pick segment and keep it on time. We run on a show clock, y'all, because there's so many games, so many out-of-conference games, that we're going to have to skip some really good games because we got top 25 teams playing. So if you don't hear your team talked about this week, we're sorry. Promise you it's going to get better. But the first game we got, number one, South Dakota State is at number 17, Oklahoma State of the FBS. Stone, the spread on this one isn't all that much. It's less than 10 points last time I saw. I think South Dakota State can go out there, hang around, make it uncomfortable for Oklahoma State, and this could be a four-quarter football game. But even if it's not, you go out there, earn some respect, which everybody ought to already have for South Dakota State, and you come home with a big check and you get ready to play FCS teams. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. 29-game win streak on the line for the Jacks. 29-game win streak on the line. Kev, tell me who that last loss was to.
I have no idea.
Iowa. another FBS squad. So trending in the wrong direction or turning in the proper direction or the direction that it should be, right? South Dakota State's got to do a lot of weird things. They got to run the crap out of trap, take shots out of play action. I mean, schematically on defense, they're fine. But don't get me wrong. So Oklahoma State team is voted to get into the college football playoff in the FBS. They're a really good team, so I don't expect the Jacks to win this thing. If they do want to win it, though, it's going to be a 24-20 finish, a 23-21, something where the defense kind of leads the way for both squads, and this game gets really ugly, and the Jacks have the ability to do that with teams. So although I don't think they will win, there are ways that they can stay in this game.
Missouri State is right here in Missoula, Montana, at number 2, Montana Grizzlies. Stone, this is a veteran Missouri State football team. They are transitioning to the FBS this season, so they're really not playing for a whole bunch, right? But this is a team that's going to come in with a lot of experience, and they got their eyes on something bigger than just this game against the Montana Grizzlies in their mind. But Montana doesn't have 3-4 weeks this year to try to figure out who their quarterback's going to be. Missouri State's going to come in, like I said, a veteran team. I think this is a dangerous situation for the Montana Grizzlies. The odds makers don't agree with me. They have the Grizz at like a 17.5, 16.5 point favorite. I'd be shocked if this isn't a close game for a long, long time over at Washington Grizzly Stadium on Saturday.
Hot take. I hope this game's good. I do think Montana wins it by at least double digits. I'm looking forward to this one. Montana, although they just competed for a national title, it feels as if they kind of have something to prove. We haven't brought their name up, or at least their name hasn't been forefront in a lot of our minds. And again, we just saw them in Frisco, Texas in January. But Clifton McDowell, you have to replace him. Hometown team, there's so many guys in the trenches that are missing from last year's team. You almost have to feel like this is a brand new Montana Grizzlies team. Obviously, a lot of returners, but some of the guys who are gone were like the most important players on the field offensively and defensively. Montana's gonna win this game. Missouri State, I don't think, poses that much of a threat. I'm going to be paying very, very, very close attention to this one because I want to see if Hauk has his guys coming out the gates early, fire lit underneath their tails, and I think he does just that.
Number 3, Montana State is at Utah Tech. Stone, we saw something last week against New Mexico. Tommy Mellott didn't run the ball nearly as much as he has in the past. I think that's by design, don't you? That's a scheme this year for them. Now, it's in there for when they really, 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 really need it, but I think him just running QB power for the hell of it's out of their playbook right now. And Utah Tech, look, this is a team, they're building for something. They have a lot of good facilities there. This is going to be a good football program at some point in the very short future. I don't think this week, I don't believe there's any letdown from the FBS win, because let's face it, Montana State, if you ask them, they didn't play particularly well last. Whole bunch of things they need to clean up. I expect them to probably take it out on Utah Tech.
I said this last week, Kevin, and I still feel the same about it, especially what they did in that fourth quarter to New Mexico. Montana State is the team to beat in all of the FCS. Yes, I said it, the team to beat. And I say that as one who hates watching them play football. That get dirty, get mud on your hands style of play with guys in the trenches getting after it. A lot of games run up front, both sides of the ball. I just think that they're really damn good and they're really sound. And they play really well together, all 22 guys. Montana State just runs through Utah Tech. This one's going to get ugly.
Number 5, Chattanooga is at number 15, Tennessee of the FBS. Stone, I don't believe there's a whole lot here. You go up the road from Chattanooga, take on the Tennessee Volunteers, make sure they know that there's a couple of T's and maybe a couple O's in Chattanooga. I don't know. I'm not smart on that paycheck. And take your whooping and come back down there and get ready to play FCS football.
Yeah, this is the time of the season where I say this, but got to stay healthy.
Number 8, Idaho is at number 3, Oregon. Stone, Oregon is a 6-touchdown favorite in this one. Stone, I don't know about that because I have watched a game in person where the Idaho Vandals had the football for 40 minutes of a 60-minute game, right? Are there going to be enough possessions for this to be a blowout situation? I don't know that. But I'll tell you this, Oregon is not shy about running the score up on FCS opponents. What did they drop, 86 on Portland State last year? I expect Idaho will compete better than that. But not a whole lot to see here if you're the Vandals. Again, do some things. Put some good things on tape. Get some confidence. If you can line up and run the ball effectively some of the time against the number 3 ranked team in the FBS, nobody you're going to see the rest of the season should intimidate you looking across that line.
I think it's a very salient last point you made there, Kev. Yeah, you're talking about our number 3 Oregon team, a team who thinks they can legitimately go win a national championship in the FBS. And if you were to ask them, are probably expected to. For Idaho, I want to see how the quarterback plays. First time actually being being given the keys to the offense, that's where my eyes will be, because he's going to lead them through the rest of the season, excluding this one. This one's going to get ugly, though. But on top of the quarterback play for the Vandals, I'll be paying attention to the skill players. Eck usually has a boatload of them, and I want to see if he has as much firepower as he did last year.
This next one intrigues me. Number 10, UC Davis, is at Cal of the FBS. We watched an Idaho team give Cal fits last year. I don't see why UC Davis can't do the same thing, with kind of the same recipe. Run the ball, play act, play defense. This could be a game that could be sneaky, sneaky good, Stone. Run the football, play defense. You're going to win a lot of football games and stay in a lot of football games. Last season, I know last season shouldn't matter, but Cal couldn't do either of those things against Idaho, and I'm thinking that UC Davis may be this year's Idaho if they can stay healthy. You said it three times already. Got to stay healthy, and it has to start in your FBS game to start the season. So this is going to be a good year for UC Davis if they can keep everybody healthy. Number 11, Central Arkansas, is at Arkansas State of the FBS. I think this is a game that's gettable for the Central Arkansas Bears. Look, good quarterback. I know you have kind of a man crush on Will McElvain. I get it. I mean, you're similar type players when you were a fine quarterback for Southern Illinois. But I'll tell you this, the back end of that defense for Central Arkansas, there's some dudes playing there, man. Mm-hmm. They can go man-to-man against FBS wide receivers and then load up the box and stop the run. I think this is going to be a very good opportunity for us to claim scalp number two of the season.
Yeah, you freaking nailed it, man. Central Arkansas's back end is going to be the difference in this game. This is my most interesting game of the entire slate. Arkansas State favored by 9.5. I'm sure it'll climb to over 10 by the time this thing kicks. Will McElvain is going to take his shots. He's going to see man coverage. Anytime you have an FCS FBS matchup, you're going to get man coverage, right? That coach likes their guys more than they like your guys. But the thing with Central Arkansas's defense on that back end, like you had mentioned, they got guys too, and they're going to throw man coverage right back in their face. I think Central Arkansas's got something to say about that 9.5-point spread.
Number 13, Southern Illinois is at BYU of the FBS. Stone, this is not what people think about a BYU football team coming in. They're not ranked. They're not in the others receiving vote. Most people don't believe this is going to be a very good vintage or edition of the BYU Cougars. And you have some people who think that Southern Illinois has some quarterback issues. They have been relatively solid the last few years at quarterback, you know, with a guy named Stone Labanowitz who was there, and then Nick Baker who was there. There's nobody like that returning for them this year. They've got to get solid QB play this season, or it could be a long year for the Salukis, friend.
Yeah, I'm super nervous. I am super, super nervous. Somebody asked me earlier if I thought they could win this game and what their chances were. I told him absolutely not. If Nick Hale isn't confident in who's jogging out there behind center, why the hell should we? I think the goal here is find out who your actual QB is. You're going to see a few guys in the mix, I think. No bigger test than an FBS foe with the name and BYU, regardless of how they come into this season, what their outlook is. If you don't have an answer at quarterback and you don't even know who your own quarterback is, then probably not going to win the football game, especially coming out of the gates when all other positions are going to be pretty rusty. So I think bad news for the Dogs.
Number 14, Tarleton State is at Baylor. Don't know the help situation for the starter for Tarleton. The backup went 1-for-4 last week. This could get ugly for the Tarleton State Texans. Baylor, look, you know they're going to have skill position guys. You know they're going to have a lot of athletes. Not a whole lot to see here, Stone. Let's just move on. Number 15, Furman is at Ole Miss. I kind of feel the same way about this one that I feel about Tarleton and Baylor, the one that we just didn't talk a whole lot about. Furman's going to go on the road to Oxford, Mississippi, and they're going to take on the Rebels. Look, last season, this might have been a game where you scratch your head and go, man, I think Furman can hang around for a while. This game for Furman is just like it's going to be for that Southern Illinois game that you described. Find out who you are against a team that doesn't have a diamond and an F also on the helmet. And they're going to be against probably the best competition you're going to play all season. So I expect Furman to learn a few things about themselves while they go pick up a check down there in Mississippi.
Yeah, you said it. I'm going to say it again. It's the same situation as Idaho, and it's the same situation as Southern Illinois. You got to figure out where you're at quarterback. We love the guy wearing the diamond and the purple right now, but this is a tall task. And if you can put good things on tape against Ole Miss, it'll build your confidence.
Number 16, Illinois State is at number 25, Iowa. Well, Stone, I predict a lot of punts in this game. And I'll tell you why, because Illinois State, one of the things that they're going to do is they're going to play solid defense under Brock's back. And we know that Iowa can't get out of their own way on the offensive side of the ball. So my prediction, punt, a lot of them. Tell me I'm wrong.
Punts, a lot of them, yes. Prepare prepare for some punts. I do think Iowa has some long drives, some 12-play drives where they do find pay dirt. They're outgunned here. They're outsized, all in all outmatched. I think if you can score first here, give them something to think about, and maybe this one gets fun, and the score line at halftime is pretty close, but I don't think Illinois State has much for Iowa. This Iowa team's beating South Dakota State. Illinois State ain't beating South Dakota State, I'll tell you that right now.
Number 19, Richmond, is at Virginia of the FBS. Virginia almost lost to a William & Mary team this time last year that wasn't all that good, right? William & Mary turned out to be not as good as they thought they were going to be, as we thought they were going to be in the preseason. Same thing could happen here. But Richmond's coming in, again, kind of an inexperienced quarterback, even though he did play last year. He's a great big old kid. But I just wonder if this isn't a game where we're looking at these two teams are not as evenly matched as when you see Richmond versus Virginia, as bad as Virginia has been lately, that I don't think these teams are as evenly matched as we might think they are, Stone.
I think having to go to Virginia is the biggest problem here. I think majority of the guys on this Richmond Spider roster have not played in an environment like this. The people at Virginia have been waiting for football for months now, and they get it. If you can weather the storm, put your earplugs in and play some football, and yeah, sure, you can go down halftime 28-7. Yeah, but that's just about it. I think they get drowned out here. I don't think there's much to see here. Virginia, not a good football team, but I don't think Richmond matches up anywhere on paper, and I'll be surprised if they do on tape.
Look, when you're talking about teams, a lot of FCS teams, right, are playing FBS games this week, so the FBS teams can get right before the start of their conference season or the more challenging part of their out-of-conference season. Well, kind of the same thing's happening right here in this matchup. Long Island is at number 21, UAlbany. Lots of question marks for UAlbany. They are not going to be upset to see a Long Island team across from them. They'll beat Long Island, I'm pretty sure, unless, you know, they just don't have anybody that can throw the football for them this year, and I believe they do. But this is a good matchup for UAlbany. They need to put some things on tape, like you say, get some confidence, and I believe this opponent, Long Island, will allow them to do so.
Yeah, correct. This is a 1-0 start. I think Katusa is going to have these guys firing on all cylinders, and I love week one spots where you have a QB in last year's Reef Poffenberger, who has now left the building. I talked about it last week. I want to touch on it one more time. This team feels forgotten. They're less talked about, even though they had a phenomenal season, a phenomenal ending to the season as well. They're going to come out of the gates here ripping. I think this Albany team is going to slap a lot of people on the mouth, and that's because Reef Poffenberger left, and people think that they're not the same team, and they're not as good. They don't have the same level. Albany will prove you wrong. They beat up on Long Island pretty badly.
The South Carolina State Bulldogs are at the number 24-ranked Florida A&M Rattlers. It's a brand-new era for the South Carolina State Bulldogs. Buddy Pough is no longer going to lead them from the sidelines, which is a loss for college football. Buddy Pough is one of the finest coaches that a lot of people who don't follow FCS have never heard of, but he retired. And now we have a new head man in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Nobody really knows what this version of the South Carolina State Bulldogs are going to do. They have to go back and watch tapes from last year's Benedict team. Benedict is a team in Columbia, South Carolina, that is Division II. So, first quarter is going to be very interesting for that dark cloud defense for Florida A&M. I think this one's going to be very, very close, and I think that people might be surprised at the outcome here.
Ooh, all right. Well, I mean, I think the opposite. I think, Fame, you kind of knocked the rust off, and I talked about Daniel Richardson coming in as a new quarterback first time he strapped up the pads and put on those colors, and he still played well, and he still had to come from behind and win. So I think they got all the bad stuff out of their system, and it's time they played really good football because they are a really good football team. I expect the offense to come out earlier in this game as opposed to late in the game like we saw. So I like FAMU in this spot, just like I mentioned about Incarnate Word being in a really good situation with Northern Colorado out the gates. I think FAMU is in an even better position with South Carolina State as opposed to Norfolk State. So 2-0, they cruise.
It's time for us to take a break. When we come back, I'll sit down with Mr. Colby Dant, the host of the College Football Experience. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Very pleased to be joined now by Mr. Colby Dant, a.k.a. Pick Dundee. He is the host of the College Football Experience. You can find him all over YouTube, all over Twitter. He's the hardest working man in college football media. Dude, every time I look at my phone, Colby, I have a new notification from you doing another show. Do you sleep? Do You Eat? And it's perfect that you're doing a show called Stadium Heads with Michael Barker, who we had on last week, because you're both savages, dude.
I've been listening to your show for years, and it's an honor to come on your show, and I'm looking forward to me actually getting to meet you in person. Michael's told me a lot about you, too. I appreciate to be here. And do I sleep? No, I have a newborn, too. I did recently go to the doctor, and the doctor told me that maybe I need to slow down a little bit, but I don't think they understand me. So I'm just like, they're wrong. Let's talk football. It's football season. My blood's always boiling around this time of year.
Look, man, the big question this year in everybody's mind seems to be, is it South Dakota State or is it the field? And I have my own opinion on that, but I want to hear what you think. You're the guest. People have to listen to me talk and Lobanowitz talk for 48 minutes on this thing. But in your mind, is this thing South Dakota State's title to win and they have to make some missteps? Or is the field closer to them than people think this season?
Yeah, I think it's South Dakota State's to win if I had to put all my marbles in the center here. But I'm intrigued, I'll say that. But I do think it's South Dakota State's to win again. You look at Gronowski back again and just a lot of – I just feel like they've taken the weight from North Dakota State there. And now just they are the – even the depth. When I look at the depth of the team – I feel like they've turned into North Dakota State what they were a few years ago.
Dude, you mentioned the depth factor. And one of the things about NDSU was they were so good, right? And when somebody got hurt, there were dudes waiting behind them to come on in. And in this new era of college football, you cover every FBS team, you cover the FCS subdivision, and it's rare to see a guy sit down for 2 years and wait his turn to play. That's what's happened at South Dakota State. These guys who have moved on, these linemen and the running back who moved on to the NFL, they had guys behind them that were already there. They waited. How rare is that in this day and age, Colby?
Look at just Gronowski. I would have assumed we saw, whether you want to say the Shador Sanders thing, whether you want to see Cam Ward, whether you want to see Ekos, who's at Washington State now, Max Brosmer. There's so many that just jump up. And for them to be able to retain it, it's got to be a special bunch. But I also believe it's got to be a little bit of everything, I think. I'm sure maybe their NIL collective it does something too. But also, it can't all be that because we know offers are bigger elsewhere. Mark Gronowski and many other players that we've seen play for the Jackrabbits of late are – big-time football players, man. Like, they could get offers to play at a lot of places. I think it's a mix of everything, but it speaks to the culture that they've built there. And I think that's really what is exciting about them and North Dakota State and the Montanas, and that they've been able to retain a lot of these players that we know could start in the FBS.
When you look around the country, right, and I know doing the Stadium Head show, that's on Sunday nights, right, pretty late. Tell us when that is.
Yeah. Sunday night. That is going to shift with Michael's travel schedule since he is going to all these games. That is going to shift to Monday nights moving after next week. So Monday nights during the college football season, obviously because Michael's travel schedule. The Stadium Heads podcast, we talk about the history of college football and what makes it so unique and how there's so many great stadiums in the FCS that people need to check out. They probably don't even realize they're close to a great FCS stadium and the heart of college football, in my opinion.
FCS Nation, we're joined by Mr. Colby Dant, a.k.a. Pick Dundee, from the College Football Experience. The College Football Experience, my friend, what is it to you? What motivates you to do all of these shows? What motivates you to be the hardest working man on YouTube? I think I gave you that title because you are. It's just a genuine love for the game, isn't it? And that's why you like FCS so much, isn't it? Because in a lot of places, it's genuine love for the game. Yes, the players are good at it, but they're out there doing it because they love it. The same reason why I have a show and the same reason why you have a show. I think we're kindred spirits, brother.
Oh, 100%. And to me, and I feel like we know each other even though we don't. We love the game. I would die to play a game right now. You know what I mean? If you told me I could press a button and go play the game, I would do that right now. I miss it every day of my life. The fact that college football to me also, it's to me the purest form of football, especially in the FCS ranks to me. The FBS ranks, the corporate dollar comes in more and more. So it changes everything. FCS football is, to me, the heartbeat. Obviously, I love D2, D3, NAIA. I watch it all. But FCS is that beautiful blend to me of you get players that could do things that I never could, and then you still have just the game the way it should be. Like, the corporate dollar hasn't ruined it and put in a million commercials, and just the purity of the game is still there. So a lot of that is the fuel behind the College Experience brand, was that I went to a smaller FBS school, East Carolina, but my whole life I grew up watching the Marshall Thundering Herd when they're in the FCS. And
stop cussing, Colby. Stop cussing, Marshall. Man, the people in the SoCon disliked them so much. In the movie, they were rooting for Xavier, dude.
Now, look, I grew up in Washington, D.C., but I had, for some reason, bunny ears on my TV, and I would pick up a black and white – the TV was black and white, but I'm saying the Marshall, when they had, like, Troy Brown and Eric Cresser in the 90s, I would get Marshall games – and we didn't even know what it was, really. We're just trying to – we're like 9-10-year-olds trying to understand the subdivision and trying to understand what is this team that's always playing in the snow. And then, obviously, that's where I really learned about a lot of FCS schools, was watching Marshall and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's fueled me my whole life, man, since I was a 7-8-year-old and we started really getting into college football. So that's really the heartbeat, I would say, behind the passion. College football is unique. It's more American than – apple pie and baseball, if you ask me.
FCS Nation, that's been Mr. Colby Dant, host of the College Football Experience. Colby, thanks for being here. Really appreciate you, man. And we really appreciate you shining a light on the YouTube and on Twitter and on social media on FCS schools. It's nice not being ignored, brother.
Oh, I appreciate you. You've been holding it down for a long time. And I got to get you on my show, and I'm honored to be on your show, man, and I'm looking forward to, at some point, meeting up with you. And go Citadel. Let's go.
We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Welcome back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for my favorite time of the week. This is the pick segment. This is where Stone Labanowitz and I pick the biggest games in FCS football for this week. Up first, number one, South Dakota State is at number 17 of the FBS, Oklahoma State. Stone, who you got? South Dakota State at Oklahoma State of the FBS.
This game's in Stillwater, Cav, a really, really, really tough place to play, especially when it's sold out. I'm hoping this game is tied in the first and is within a score when they head into the locker room at halftime, but I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think Oklahoma State wins this one by a wide margin. I got it finishing 48-20.
I don't disagree with the outcome, but I disagree with your whole description about how this football game is going to go down, Stone. I think the Cowboys are going to be fighting for their life in this one. South Dakota State, there's just too much character on this football team. There's too much talent on this football team. I do believe Oklahoma State will win, but I think the Cowboys will beat South Dakota State, and they'll do it. Take Oklahoma State 24-17. Missouri State is at number two, Montana.
You talked about Mo State having a lot of veterans on this team. I don't really think it matters. Montana, even though I just doubted who's up front and how they're going to replace some of the guys in the trenches, they are still too big and they're still too strong and powerful. I think the Grizz win this one 30-10.
I agree with you here, Stone. I think Montana, look, this is a program at this point in time under Coach Bobby Houck where they're going out and getting people in the transfer portal who they want, not just people who they can fit someplace and stick them someplace to play. They're developing the talent that they recruit out of high school. They're at the point now where the Grizz just reload. They don't rebuild. I think it'll be closer than some people think. But take the Grizz at home over Missouri State, 31-24. Number three, Montana State is at Utah Tech.
Blowout, 42-7, the way of the Bobcats. I'm going to say it for the fourth time. This right here is the team to beat in all of the FCS this year.
I disagree with your take about them being the team to beat in the FCS, but I do agree with your description of this ball game. Take the Bobcats on the road at Utah Tech, 48-20.
You think the Bobcats are letting up 20 points, Kev?
Yes.
To Utah Tech?
Yes.
Okay, moving on. Moving on.
Number five, Chattanooga is at number 15, Tennessee of the FBS.
Chattanooga, Tennessee. This one's ugly. 52-14, the final. Chattanooga's not moving from the five spot if that's the scoreline. Don't matter.
Take the Volunteers at home over Chattanooga, 42 10. Number 8, Idaho, is at number 3, Oregon of the FBS.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say here. 52-17, and I think the 17 probably come from garbage time when nobody's really in this ball game.
Take the Ducks over the Vandals in this one, 42-12. Number 10, UC Davis, is at Cal of the FBS.
You think this one's going to be close? I don't think this one's going to be close, so I'm going to give the floor to you. 38-17, the way of the Burrs.
UC Davis going to hang around a long time in this one, I think. They have the ability to run the football. Cal, look, who are they going to be? We'll know more maybe in 3-4 weeks about them. But I know who UC Davis is coming to this ball game. I don't think the Aggies will pull the upset, but I think it'll be close. Take Cal at home over number 10, UC Davis, 34-27. Number 11, Central Arkansas, is at Arkansas State of the FBS.
Upset special of the week. Upset special of the week. It is UCA. It's Central Arkansas. They're dogs, and they're being given 9.5 points. You can keep the points. We don't need them. Will McElvain in that defensive back end is going to get this thing done. 28-27. Give me the Bears. Give me Will McElvain injected in my veins.
Well, I don't want anything injected into me, Stone, but I do agree with you the outcome. And, folks, we do not discuss these games before we go on the air. My upset special of the week, too, take Central Arkansas over Arkansas State of the FBS, 38-35. Number 13, Southern Illinois, is at BYU of the FBS.
A lot to a little here. BYU gets this one done, 45-17.
I agree. Take BYU over Southern Illinois, 42-13. Number 14, Tarleton State, is at Baylor of the FBS. Stone, I think we can just say not a lot to see here, whole lot to a little. I'm not wrong, am I?
No, you are not, sir.
Number 15, Furman, is at Ole Miss of the FBS. Again, Stone, these three games in a row here have had a lot of the same things. Who's going to be the quarterback? It's tough to try to figure that out against an FBS opponent. I don't think there's a whole lot to see here. Take Ole Miss, 52-20. Number 16, Illinois State, is at number 25, Iowa. Stone, another FBS opponent, but this is not an FBS opponent where the offensive firepower is going to blow you away, is it?
Right.
So I think that in this one, I think Illinois State hangs around. This is a low-scoring game because both of these teams like to play those type of games, and I think Iowa does win this one. Take Iowa over Illinois State, 24-13.
Hawkeyes get out of here, 30-7. Not too much sweat off their brow, my friend.
Long Island is at number 21, UAlbany. I think UAlbany uses this ball game. Find out who they are. Long Island, we kind of know who they are. Take UAlbany in this one, 42-7.
Yeah, I got them 34-10 here. Obviously, we don't know that much about Long Island. Be curious to find out, but I don't think it's going to matter. I think this game's going to be all UAlbany. First quarter, second quarter, third, and the fourth. 34-10, the final.
South Carolina State is at number 24, Florida A&M. Stone, I'm going to let you go first on this one, friend.
Yeah, I like FAMU in this spot. I don't think they're going to win by a wide margin, but I do think they win this game. FAMU 27, South Carolina State 21. Daniel Richardson, he had 3 last week. I think he does it again. I think he gets past that 300-yard mark. I don't think the South Carolina State defense on the back end has much to say about it. FAMU's got firepower, skill players galore.
I agree on the outcome, Stone, and I even agree about how close this ball game is going to be. South Carolina State, we don't know what they're going to do, right? They could come out in the wishbone for all we know. I mean, nothing would please me more than if my team came back out in the wishbone again. Halcyon days have gone by. But South Carolina State could do that for all we know. So I think this game stays really close for a long time. But take number 24, Florida A&M, at home against the South Carolina State Bulldogs. Rattlers strike 27-24. That brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. FCS Nation is co-hosted by Mr. Stone Labanowitz, produced by Mr. Sam Cittadini. My name is Kevin Marshall. I'm executive producer and host, and I'd like to thank you all for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. And like I always do, I'd like to remind you that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules, and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.